referring to the tribulation and culminating, as we'll see tonight, with the final battle of Armageddon and then Jesus returning, well, all that simultaneously, and then him setting up his kingdom after judging the nations. So we'll look at chapter 3 tonight, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you've taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you've sold them, and I will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel." So tonight, we are focused from verse 14 on the valley of decision. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and the many things we've already learned as we've walked through the book of Joel about the coming day of the Lord. And I pray you'll just stir our hearts tonight again about what's ahead and how we have the solution for this world through the gospel of Jesus Christ of avoiding this wrath. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us tonight and that you would be glorified through your word and that we would be changed. And we thank you for the privilege of opening it together. And we love you and commit the service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God here is giving us a prophecy through Joel about this culmination of the day of the Lord, which will be this battle between essentially Jesus and the devil. But the devil, of course, will have plenty of helpers. Jesus doesn't need any. Amen. He can fight battles on his own. But as we see here in verse 2, God will gather all nations. This here is a prophecy of this great battle that takes place at the end of the tribulation. By now, remember, more than two-thirds of the earth has died, and Israel has been essentially judged. The world has gone through this time of wrath, and now comes the final battle before this judgment that takes place, which we'll read about in Matthew 25. So as he says, he will gather all nations. This is a world war that takes place at the end of the tribulation period. So let's look at some scriptures about it. Go to Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8, if you would. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Notice the Bible says, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I raise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." So again, we see this phrase, all nations will gather together for this battle. And then go to Zechariah this time, two books to the right from Zephaniah, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. Zechariah chapter 14, look at verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations, so there it is again, against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and as when he fought in the day of battle. So let's see Jesus Christ winning the battle. And then we go to Revelation 16 now, and we'll see God describing the actual battle that's been prophesied of here in Joel chapter 3. So go to Revelation 16:16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So this is where the battle will take place. It's called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's called the Valley of Decision. It's also referred to as Armageddon. We've all heard that word before because the world loves to throw it around. It's a Bible word, and this is a literal battle that will take place between Jesus and the devil, essentially, but the whole world will be involved. So if we go back to our passage here in Joel chapter 3, God explains that their judgment is finalized. Remember, the seven-year time of the day of the Lord is the time of Jacob's trouble, which we'll see more on later. It's the time that God judges his people Israel for their disobedience and for not accepting their Messiah. But when it's finished, then he brings them together and fights for them instead of against them. As we see here in verse 7, behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them. God is never done with Israel. It has maybe seemed like it time and time again. Go to Isaiah 11 this time in verse 12. Especially in times like when Jerusalem was raised back around 70 AD, the time under Hitler, the devil has done his best to wipe out the Jews, and yet they're still here. And honestly, that's one of the best proofs of the Bible when you think about it, is how hard the devil and the world have tried to destroy the Jews, and they're still here. That's because God's not finished with them. These promises will be kept, and they will culminate here at the end. Notice Isaiah 11:12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So notice that there will come the day when he regathers his people from, and they've been spread all over the whole earth. Go to Isaiah 54 now, and we'll see it again. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 7. The Bible says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. So it may, to them, seem like more than a small moment. I would say 2,500 years to us seems like more than a small moment. To God, it's but a blip. But it's never over until it's over, and these promises will be fulfilled. Now go to Jeremiah 32, please. One more verse on this, as God reminding them that he will pull them out of all places for this final battle. Jeremiah 32, this time verse 37. Jeremiah 32, 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. So notice this theme of God regathering his people, this remnant of the Jews, at the end of the tribulation. So let's go back to our passage now. And he warns the world, if you will, verse 9 of our passage. He says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Now, a lot of people like to quote other verses in the Old Testament where it talks about beating your swords into plowshares and beating your spears into pruning hooks. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that verse is in front of the UN building. Did you notice God has it turned around the other way here in verse 10? Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. In other words, it's time for war. The time for peace comes later when the Prince of Peace sets up his peaceful kingdom. But before the peace comes the war. And that's the war that is prophesied of here in this valley of Jehoshaphat, this valley of decision. Go back to our passage, verse 12. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. So notice this is about judgment. And if you want to have some reading at home, read Matthew chapter 25. Let's just look at a couple verses in there. Matthew 25, look at verses 31 to 33. But the whole chapter essentially deals with Jesus judging the nations at the end of the tribulation period, just prior to setting up his kingdom. So we'll just look at a couple of verses. Matthew 25, look at verses 31. Let's just look at maybe 31 to 33. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. There's that phrase again. And he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then there's parables in Matthew 25 that describe this separation of the nations. So this judgment will be exercised by the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in our passage in Joel, verse 13, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Now, this is not talking about the harvest of the church. It's a totally different harvest. This is talking about the harvest at the end of the tribulation period. And yes, a lot of people get saved in the tribulation, but a lot of people die as well. Notice it says their wickedness is great. So the Bible tells us that Jesus shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. So that's the chronology of it. First the judgment, then the kingdom. First his appearing, then the judgment, and then the kingdom. So back to our passage, verse 14 of Joel 3. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord. Let's look at a couple verses on this. Go to Isaiah 34 and just be reminded about this battle and the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 34. It'd be good if we could read a lot, but I'm just going to just pick and choose some of the things. Verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. So there it is again. And his fury upon all their armies. So this is a world war. Verse 5, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. This is God's sword. It's not man's sword. And verse 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now, if you would look at Isaiah 63, and we're talking here about this multitudes in the valley of decision on the day of the Lord, the culmination of the day of the Lord. Look at Isaiah 63 and verse 1. Who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. This isn't a babe in a manger, is it? Jesus talking about his own garments being stained with blood from his enemies. So this is a terrible battle. And let's go to Revelation 14 this time, in verse 19, and we'll see this wrath being poured out and just how horrible of a battle it will be. Revelation 14, look at verse 19 this time. This is actually, when you read it, and I believe the Bible's being literal, it just tells you how many people die. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's a lot of blood. It takes a lot of people to create that much blood. Now, I don't think there's an official height, but where does a horse's bridle sit when it's standing? Maybe this high? So there's that much blood in this valley after the end of the battle. So it's no wonder that when people hear the word Armageddon, they think terrible things, because it's a terrible battle. You and I, we just get to watch Jesus win. Amen. We don't have to fight. We get to just watch Jesus win. So go back to our passage, Joel chapter 3. We looked at this last week about the sun and the moon, but it will remind it here that verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Bible says that there will be signs in heaven for the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. This is not talking about the rapture. It's talking about when Jesus comes to the earth. He told us this in Matthew 24. Remember, looked last week. He said immediately after the tribulation in those days. So not before the tribulation, but after the tribulation, there shall be signs in the heavens. And those signs will tell the world, here comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to execute his wrath. So verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. This will be Jesus setting up his throne. Go to Isaiah 52 and we'll see this. So Jesus executes his wrath, his final wrath, through this final battle. Well, I shouldn't say final battle. There's one more at the end of the kingdom, but that's a whole different situation. But the final battle of the tribulation period, Isaiah 52:9, it says that he will utter his voice from Jerusalem. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed who? Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is redeemed, restored, rescued, so that Jesus might set up his kingdom there. We're told here in Joel 3:16, the Lord will be the hope of his people. And Israel's been waiting for this hope now for well over 2,500 years. They missed it the first time when Jesus came. They won't miss it the second time. They'll know who he is. And he will be their hope. If you're still in Isaiah, go to chapter 49, this time, verse 7. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. This is Jesus setting up his throne at the end of this battle. Go to Zechariah 10, almost finished here. I know it's a little bit on the technical side, but this is good for us. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6. Zechariah 10, 6, the Bible says, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I have not cast them off, for I, the Lord thy God, and I will hear them. So God is not done with his people. We've seen this over and over and over. Went through Isaiah, went through Jeremiah, and now as we go through the minor prophets, what we're going to see is God has never stopped loving Israel. He's still having to punish them, but he's never stopped loving them, and the promises that he made to them he will keep. And though they be judged during the tribulation, there will be a remnant, and Jesus will come and fight for that remnant against who? But all nations will be gathered together against little old Israel, but they win because they have Jesus. And the battle will be so fierce and so intense that the blood will be that deep for kilometers. Hard for us to even put our head around that much blood, but The Bible's always about the blood, isn't it? So we'll finish verse 17 tonight, Jeremiah 3. So shall you know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Would anybody venture to call Jerusalem holy today? No. But there will come the day when Jerusalem will be the place where Jesus is. Imagine that. And then we have the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And it's also called the holy city. But that's a whole different topic for discussion. So the Valley of Decision, also called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, also called the Battle of Armageddon, will take place not far outside of Jerusalem. There's a lot of people that guess which valley it will be, and we can be pretty accurate, but we just know the battle will take place there, and it will be a horrible battle, and it will be Jesus against millions of people. Millions. And Jesus, if you go to Revelation 19, we'll finish there, Jesus wins. Well, that's not a surprise, is it? It'll be Jesus against all the weapons of man, whatever weapons are left at the end of 7 years of God's wrath. And Jesus wins with one sword. And let's look at that sword. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. I personally don't believe this is a literal sword. I believe this is Jesus' spoken word. And the word, of course, is likened to a sword, the sword of the Spirit. Jesus spoke and made the world. Amen? So it's no problem for Jesus to speak and to destroy an entire army of millions of people, which is exactly what it's going to do. And so the Bible says, with that sword he will smite the nations. Those who survive, it says, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verse 18. He calls the birds together and says that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. This is the battle of Armageddon. In the Valley of Decision. Let's make sure as many people as possible we can help to make sure they're not on the losing side. Amen? But on the winning side. And what determines that? Whether or not you've taken Jesus as your Savior. If you have, you won't be there for the battle. Or you will, but you won't have been there for the tribulation. But we get to come back with Jesus in Revelation 19 and watch him win. Much better than to be on the losing side. The people who actually fight against Jesus. Imagine that. Fighting against Jesus. How foolish. The devil's pretty crafty when he can trick people into fighting against Jesus. But he does. And he does it again at the end of the kingdom, which we'll talk about in the future. But this is the prophecy of the Valley of Decision. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your